Welcome to Smart in the City, the Babble podcast where we bring together top actors in the smart city arena, sparking dialogues and interactions around the stakeholders and themes most prevalent for today's citizens and tomorrow's generations. I am your host, Tamlin Shimizu, and I hope you will enjoy this episode and gain knowledge and connections to accelerate the change for a better urban life. Smart in the City is brought to you by Babble Smart Cities. We enable processes from research and strategy development to co-creation and implementation. To learn more about us, please visit the Babble platform at babble-smartcities.eu.
So today we are traveling to Taiwan, a country that has recently become a top favorite of mine as I visited a couple months ago. And I'm specifically traveling to Yunnan County, which I also had the pleasure of visiting. And it's Taiwan's largest agricultural hub. In this episode, we'll explore how Yunnan is really transforming agriculture through smart technology, sustainability, and strong infrastructure. We'll look at how the county connects to some of the key themes we often discuss on the podcast: data-driven operations, transforming waste into innovation, financial sustainability, and the future of rural regions. So with that, I have a very special guest with me today. So I'm really excited to introduce you to the Deputy Magistrate of Yunnan County in Taiwan, Shay Shuya. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Tamli. It's my pleasure to share Yunnan's story with the Babble podcast listeners. People used to think of Yunnan as just a traditional farming county, but we are actually transforming our agriculture through smart technology, sustainability, and solid infrastructure.
Yeah, it's really amazing to see how these rural counties are transforming into innovation, really not a typical innovation hub like in a city, but really using innovation within those agricultural practices. To start us off, I would like to warm us up a little bit with a lighter question. So the question I've chosen for you today is, if you had to describe Yunnan in just three words, what would they be?
Oh, the words that immediately pop into my mind center around our people, I would say warm, vibrant, and innovative. First, warm. In Yunnan, people truly care about each other. There is a very close general connection between our citizens, making it feel like one big family. Second, vibrant. We are incredibly proud of our leadership and our strong focus on youth development. We are actually bringing young people back home and injecting fresh energy into our communities. And the third one, innovative. It's not easy for a traditional agricultural county to transform, but we take this as a great opportunity. We are open to smart technology to tackle our changes headlong and growing forward together with our citizens.
Yeah, great adjectives. I can agree with those adjectives as well. I really felt this warmth. I really felt the innovation when I went into Yunnan. So I definitely agree with your adjectives as well. Before we get into some of the key topics of today, I would love to learn a little bit more about you as a person. So Deputy Magistrate, can you tell us a little bit more about your background and what led you into your role today as Deputy Magistrate of Yunnan County?
Thank you, Tamli. Yunnan is my home, and my career has been deeply rooted in local public service. Seeing the everyday struggles of our people, like residents in rural Gukan being cut off by the broken county roads 149A for over 20 years, that's truly broken my heart. My motivation is very simple. I want to solve this fundamental everyday problems by building solid infrastructure and reconnecting our communities. We can keep our youth here and have our agriculture thrive and share Yunnan's true beauty with the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I can agree with that. And so we've started to paint a bit of a picture of Yunlin. I was wondering, I think a lot of our listeners don't know Yunlin yet. Can you paint us a little bit more of a comprehensive picture of the county? What kind of place is it? What role does it really play within Taiwan?
I'll be really happy to. Yunlin is widely known as the Taiwan agricultural hub and its granary. In fact, one out of every three vegetables or pigs on a Taiwanese dining table comes from directly from Yunlin. However, Yunlin is so much more than just a traditional farming county. Today, we are actively transforming into an agri and industrial commercial tech city by connecting our rich agricultural roots with smart innovation and sustainability. For example, we are a champion of circular economy by turning agricultural waste like oyster shell, pineapple leaves, and kitchen waste into high-value textile, organic fertilizer, and green energy. We are also developing smart cold chain logistics parks and successfully exporting our local agricultural brands to international markets like Japan, Singapore, and the Middle East. We are taking the very best of our traditional land and upgrading it for the modern global stage.
Yeah, I think we'll dig into some of those topics a little bit more. I want to start with the infrastructure. So when people hear the word infrastructure, maybe they think of, highways, fiber networks, 5G, et cetera. But in Yunlin, the foundation for innovation really seems more connected to like the agricultural farmers' daily reality. So waterways, rural roads, machinery access, logistics, those types of things. So how do you define infrastructure for a more agricultural region?
Yes, for us, agriculture infrastructure is the absolute definite lifeline for our farmers. Over the past few years, we did not just build city roads. We invested over NT$4.2 billion to upgrade 1,963 agricultural waterways and rural roads. That's about 866 kilometers, equivalent to traveling the entire length of Taiwan back and forth. We also push for mass farmland consolidation in our coastal areas, optimizing low land work so modern farming machinery can easily access the fields. Without this solid physical foundation, advanced agricultural technologies simply cannot enter farms. Once the physical groundwork is laid, we can build advanced facilities and digital networks on top of it. Physically, we are planning the Dunan, a small logistical cold chain park, to connect our local agricultural products to global markets without losing quality.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch a little bit more now on the data. So we're in the age of, data, AI. One thing that stood out to me as well is that Yunlin is really trying to move, AI and the use of AI from pilot projects to really everyday operations and policy within Yunlin County. Maybe could you give us a very concrete example of how a farmer might use this information differently than how they used to use it in the past?
Okay, no problem. As extreme weather impacts farming, we move beyond small-scale pilots and implemented the Yunlin Digital Agricultural Mobile platform as a policy level. Regardless of experience, our farmers can now make decisions based on market and weather data. The platform uses AI to predict the harvest times and prices for nine types of short-term leaf vegetables, effectively preventing market crashes. We even adapted the platform to line an app commonly used by everyone, including elderly farmers. This allows us to push real-time climate warming directly to their phones so they can make a precise data-driven decision on when to irrigate and or harvest.
Yeah, I've really loved learning about the different applications, and I think that's a very good use case in using data and AI within a more agricultural setting. I want to also talk about the products themselves. So producing high-quality products is one part of the story, right? But bringing those products to wider markets, I know, is also a goal of Yunlin. How does Yunlin really support farmers in building market competitiveness and sales capabilities? Maybe you can elaborate there.
Danson, that's a really good question. Producing excellent products only half the battle. We recognize that many small-scale farmers so at a growing quality crops, but lack the expertise to market and sell globally. That's the reason why we established the Yunlin Goods. It's a comprehensive support initiative that trains and builds up our farmers' sales and marketing mindset and capabilities. Yunlin Goods serves as a bridge between a production and the global marketplace. We provide a stock structure training in digital marketing, brand storytelling, and export logistics, and international business practice. More importantly, we help farmers understand consumer preferences, quality standards, and pricing strategies across different markets. We have developed a collective channels that enables more farmers to put their products, a share of marketing costs, and a collective each international buyers, whether through e-commerce, a platform, a trade show, or a direct B2B partnerships. Through this integrated approach, a combined AI-powered production intelligence with market-driven sales capabilities, we are transferring union farmers from commodity producers to competitive global agricultural brands. Data-driven farming ensures quality and efficiency. Union goods ensure they have the market presence and the sales channel to monetize their quality on the international stage.
Yeah, I think what Yunlin is doing is really a good lighthouse example in some of these cases. For a lot of rural regions, that a lot of these regions can take a lot from what you're saying now. I want to also touch more on the circular economy, because I know Yunlin is doing a lot and has very memorable examples. How is Yunlin really turning agricultural and municipal waste into new value?
Yeah, that's a very, very good and important issue in Yunlin. This is something we are extremely proud of. Yunlin's circular economy operates on multiple fronts. First, for municipal waste, we partner with the Formosa Plastic Group. We process 60 tons of daily household waste into highly sought-off organic fertilizer called a Yunlin fertilizer within just 8 days. This also completely helps prevent African swine fever from entering pig farms. And the second one, for agricultural waste, we transform discarded oyster shell from our coastal area, which used to cause terrible odors, using a narrow technology into seawell. This is a patented and eco-friendly yarn adopted by global brands like Uniqlo. We also turn decades of highly saline wastewater from pickled cabbage production into a nutrient-liquid fertilizer from aquaculture. We even collect biogas from a pig manure to generate 500 kilowatts per hour of green electricity daily at the Tremien Husbandry Farm. We are turning an environmental burden into green competitiveness.
Yeah, such cool use cases, I think, for how we can use waste from agriculture to create new products. And I think everyone should be thinking in that direction, because it not only has good benefits for our planet, but also for competitiveness of regions as well. What I find interesting is that these examples are not just environmental projects, right? They also create new products. They create these new partnerships, new stories to tell as well. Can you talk a bit more about why circular economy is especially important for Yunlin's broader international narrative?
Yes, sure. You hit the nail on the head. Products like our Yunlin organic fertilizer, seawall, textile, and the green electricity are just the tangible results, the real driving force. As new partnership and cross-sector collaborations we have built, as a global government with limited resources, our role is to be the ultimate bridge. For instance, we form a public-private partnership with Nanya Plastic, a bridge of Formosa plastic growth, one of the largest petrochemical companies in Asia, to tackle our country's food waste. We collaborated with the Aquatech Textile Limited Corporations and a university like Shijian University to run innovative studies turning discarded oyster shell into a patented fabric. We even team up with National Taiwan University researchers to transform problematic solar cabbage waste water into valuable aquacultural nutrients. These collaborations are crucial to our international narrative. They show that rural regions can turn local environmental challenges into global value through innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a big part of this as well is around the partnerships. Innovation in agriculture can be really expensive when you think about the upfront cost for farmers. Especially when farmers or small businesses might need new facilities, new equipment, new systems. Can you tell us the example that I learned about with Formosa Goose and what it teaches us about the financial sustainability?
Yes, Formosa Goose Limited Corporation is a very, very good example of this. In agriculture, innovation is often necessary, but it can also be financially risky. So after the avian flu outbreak in 2015, traditional goose farming in Taiwan became very vulnerable. To protect the animals and reduce this disease risk, the founder of Formosa Goose decided to build crowd-smart poultry houses. But this kind of facility requires a very large investment, tens of millions of NT dollars. So the question was, how can this become financially sustainable and adjust the high risk cost for the farmer? The solution was to combine agricultural infrastructure with new renewable energy. Formosa Goose partner with the energy companies to install solar panels and the roof of the poultry houses. The stable green energy revenue over 20 years is, and helps subsidy the cost of the smart facilities. For us, the lesson is that financial sustainability can come from combining different value streams. In this case, the farm is not only producing cheese, it's also producing renewable energy that makes the business model more stable, reduces the risk, and helps farmers invest in safer and the more modern agriculture. That's a very good example.
Yeah, it is a very good example of combining these revenue streams and how you can use renewable energy as well for creating this type of subsidies to subsidize the cost of increasing your facility. So I also want to talk about another example. The Fengyu aquaculture example also stood out to me because it's not technology for technology's sake, as sometimes we'd like to do. It is a very practical response to labor shortages and safety risks. So what makes inclusive design so important for Yunlin? And maybe you can talk a bit more about that example.
Yes. Easy aquaculture cooperation is another very, very good example of technology being a design around real people and real daily problems. In Yunlin, many farmers are older, and labor shortages are a serious challenge. In aquaculture, something as simple as feeding fish can be difficult and even dangerous, especially in winter, when farmers may need to go out on the ponds and risk falling into cold water. Through our local government SBIR subsidies, is aquaculture cooperation developed an amendable for fish and pond. But what I found important is that they did not make the technology unnecessarily complicated. Instead of relying only on a compressed app, the boat uses a physical remote control, which is much easier and more familiar for elderly farmers. So this is not technologically for technology's sake. It directly responds to labor shortages, safety risks, and the real habits of people who need to use it. So for us, inclusive design means that innovation should not be excluding people. It's supported to help. If a solution is too difficult to use, you will not create impact. But if it's practical, accessible, and designed around local needs, then technology can really improve our daily life.
Yeah, I think it's a great example of how you can use the more analog or simpler technology, really thinking about, okay, who is going to use this in the end? Is it going to be more elderly people? Is it going to be people who are not as used to technology? So I love that example as well to remind us of that important point. And this also brings us, of course, to the people side of the story, always centering around the people. So for Yunlin, like many rural regions, you have an aging population. So how do you make agriculture feel exciting, feel like a future opportunity for young people as well, rather than just something that they want to leave behind?
Wow. You have touched on something very critical for Yunlin's future. The key is this: a strong ecosystem transforms agriculture from a burden your children must escape into an opportunity they want to return to. The aging population is not a problem we hide from. It's a catalyst for innovation. We are building a comprehensive ecosystem that addresses this challenge directly. First, we established a smart agriculture university to provide cross-disciplinary training. But crucially, we position it as a pathway to entrepreneurship and career stability, not just job training. Young people see that agriculture can be technologically advanced, financially rewarding, and personally meaningful. Second, we encourage deep community partnership and shared business models. A perfect example is the Tipsy Farm. Instead of young farmers struggling alone against the aging parents' expectations, the founder created a shared satellite farm model. This ecosystem enables youth to acquire skills in smart greenhouse climate control, drip irrigation and financial management while working alongside experienced farmers. They can then return to their own villages and support their families and even mentor the next generation. We are also fostering multi-generational entrepreneurship. Young people are launching startups like Amend Farming Boards and precision irrigation systems, especially designed to reduce physical labor for elderly farmers. When a young man, entrepreneur can operate a profitable business while caring for aging parents in the same community, we break the circle of rural actors by combining upskilling, shared resources, strategy, partnerships, and inclusive technology design. We're turning demographic challenges into economic and social renewal.
Yeah, absolutely. I love these examples as well. I met, when I was in Yunlin, I met a number of young entrepreneurs, young people working within the agricultural sector who were really excited about the different technological advances and how they can contribute to the society. So I saw that firsthand as well, that a lot of young people are getting quite excited about this actually too. I want to ask you, if you look over the next few years, what is the main challenge Yunlin still really needs to overcome? And what would help you accelerate that change that you need to see?
Look ahead. Our most critical challenges are empowering our youth and scaling our international communication. For a long time, young people had to leave Yunlin to find viable career opportunities. To accelerate change and bring our talent home, we are actively developing the 9+1 industrial parks, which will create over 40,000 high-quality jobs and transform us into an agri and industrial commercial tech city. We are also offering comprehensive youth entrepreneurship grants and mentoring grants. Programs so our next generation can build successful and a sustainable lives right here. Furthermore, we must scale our global visibility to shatter older stereotypes. We want the world to know we are not just a traditional agricultural county, but a global competitive city of champions. So by actively participating in the international network, like the Intelligent Community Forum, that's ICF, and communicate through a podcast hosted by a platform with a reputation like Babel. We are accelerating our integration with the world and sharing our resilient innovations on the global stage.
Yeah, I've really been impressed with how Yunlin is, you know, getting out there on an international level as well. Now we move into our segment. Segment is a reoccurring segment that we do with different guests, and we have different segments. And the one that I brought for you today is called Inspire Us. Inspire us just a little bit with a story, a quote, or anything that has inspired you recently.
Wow, I'm very happy to share with you the core philosophy behind our county's transformation as empathy. Recently, I was deeply inspired by a local community group called Chuang Lezi. It means to create the happiness just like a child. It all started simply because of a young woman or girl. I feel it is so young. I felt empathy for unattended children, wandering the streets, and invited them to her home to study and do their homework. This simple act of kindness snowballed into a powerful community hub. Today, a group of rural women around this space, not just as a business, but as a mutual a support network. They use green care, like a gardening and planting, to encourage local elders to step outside and help prevent dementia, while also providing a platform to empower other women to start their own micro businesses. They always say, we have no blood relations, but we take care of each other like a family. This perfectly shows why our transformation matters. Empathy is the ultimate driver of innovation in Yunlin. It's how we build strong people-to-people connections, ensuring that no one is left behind as we create a resilient and a heartwarming home for everyone.
Yeah, I love that, actually. I haven't heard that before, really, that empathy is a driver of innovation, but I really love that. I'm going to use that also again. Now we come to our final question, and it's the question that I ask every single guest that comes onto the podcast. And it is, to you, what is a smart city, or in your case, a smart region?
From Yunlin's perspective, a smart city, or rather a smart region, is never just about cold technology. It's about using innovation to generally improve people's lives, support our local communities, protect the environment, and create lasting opportunities for the next generation. So they no longer have to leave their hometown. More importantly, a true smart city requires a leader who holds a strong ownership. Under the leadership of our Magistrate Chen and our governance team, who always leads with empathy and take a personal responsibility for the country's challenges, we have been able to break down the departmental barrier and align our entire government. It's this strong ownership that allows us to turn technological tools into warm, practical solutions that truly serves our people.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the focus on leadership. Actually, that's something that not a lot of people talk about as far as what is a smart city or smart region. But really, you need these strong leaders, which Yunlin clearly has as well. Strong women leaders as well. So that's amazing. So with that, I just have to give you very big thank you for coming on, spending your time with me and sharing more about Yunlin's story. I've been, as I mentioned, I got to visit in person, meet you in person. I had an amazing time in Yunlin, and I want to share the story also with the world and share how, you know, all these different use cases, everything you're doing on the ground in Yunlin is really a catalyst for this innovation, for other regions to learn from, and for the future generations. So thank you so much for spending your time with me.
Thank you very much for Tamlin, and I wish you to see you in Taiwan, Yunlin, very, very soon.
Yeah, I really want to come back. So thank you so much again for the lovely and warm invitation and welcome last time. And of course, I have to give a big thank you as well to all of our listeners that have listened all the way to this point. Thank you for coming on and learning more about this rural innovation region in Taiwan. Don't forget, you can always create a free account on babble-smartcities.eu. You can find out more about different use cases, projects, and more. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. I'll see you at the next stop on the journey to a better urban life.